This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
To you, happy Monday. It can be a happy Monday. We can do this, peeps. I hope you had a great weekend, that it was whatever you needed. A break, a chance to run errands, a chance to do yard work. Ooh, ooh, that was me. Maybe you were cooking. Ooh, ooh, that was me. Maybe you were baking. Oh, that was me too. Whatever it is that you were doing. I did not turn on 1 minute of Star Wars, even though it was a Star Wars weekend on TNT, and I actually forgot about it mostly. So my Sunday morning was my chance to get away. If you haven't seen the pictures, they're up on Twitter and on Facebook, A-Law Radio, or After Hours with Amy Lawrence on FB. That sounds weird. It's too much like FC. So I took a few stolen moments away. However, I kept reminding myself, hey, there's baseball. There's baseball. When I woke up on Friday afternoon, after sleeping, the world felt slightly different. Yes, we've had golf. We've had UFC. We've had NASCAR. We even have Indy racing. We've had bull riding. We've had MLS. We've had NWSL, so men's and women's soccer. And we added the WNBA this weekend. But it felt different. With baseball's opening weekend, it felt different. Slightly different. And so I don't know whether all you are feeling like you refuse to forgive and forget, or forgive or forget. But I was excited to see baseball back on the field. And I kept reminding myself, hey, there's games going on. So whenever I was in the car, which was a significant amount this weekend, I was in the car, I was turning on games. When I was at home and I was in the kitchen, I had them on the radio, moving around. It was a good feeling to exercise those muscles again, those baseball muscles. Of course, we don't want to pull any of those muscles or strain any of those muscles. And there were, of course, some very lopsided affairs as well. We got one of those on Sunday Night Baseball. But I think the dam broke with the Mets on Saturday. Goodness. This actually was a game that I was listening to live. So I was baking cookies. I've got a bunch of people I'm going to see this week. And I've got a friend who's graduating. And I'm making a bunch of cookies for gifts. And so I put on a game, and this one happened to be a game that was in the late stages. It was the Braves and Mets on Saturday. And I thought, okay, this will be fun. I really enjoy the radio call, especially with Howie Rose on the Mets radio network. Either way, I could listen to the Braves call as well. And they're in the late stages. Edwin Diaz. This story is so funny. I mean, it's not funny that Edwin Diaz got blasted unless you're a Braves fan. But Edwin Diaz comes into the game and he looks really good initially. First couple of batters, looks really good. Two outs in the ninth inning. The Mets announcers are raving about how this could be the resurgence of Edwin Diaz going back to before he was traded to the New York Mets. I was a little bit taken aback because I thought it might be too early to be singing his praises again considering what an awful season he had in 2019. And as they're singing his praises, Edwin Diaz this, Edwin Diaz that. Marcel, and I don't believe in jinxes, so don't blame it on that. Marcel Ozuna blasts a tying home run off Diaz with two outs in the ninth inning. Yikes. And then this is going to take some getting used to. I can't help it. I'm okay. I mean, I'm getting okay. I'm going to make myself be okay with the fake stupid crowd noise. I don't like it. But after a while, I tuned it out this weekend. But the whole put a runner on second base in scoring position when you get to extra innings, yeah, that's going to take some getting used to. I'm even okay with the universal DH. And in fact, speaking of the same series, it was Yoenis Cespedes who blasted a shot off the Braves as the DH on Friday. And so you had a little bit of everything in this weekend series. So they end up with the automatic runner, Adam Duvall. This is going back to Saturday still. He starts the inning on second base. Dansby Swanson scores him with a leadoff single in the 10th. Braves go on to beat the Mets. Why do I tell you all of that? Well, because of the Edwin Diaz moment. There was drama and there was fireworks, but also because that lit a fire under the Atlanta Braves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Braves go on then to toy with the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball. And as it turned out, they had more than enough offense. I had a friend who was working this game as a broadcaster, and he hadn't done a game in quite a while. So he said it took him a little bit to get into a groove. And then he said, by the time I got into the groove, the Atlanta Braves were up 13-1.
High fly ball hit to deep center field. Nimmo going back, looking up, and that one is gone. Ozzie Albies to dead center. His third extra base hit. It's 13-1.
I don't even know why I played that highlight. The audio quality is so bad, but I just wanted you to hear it from someone else besides me. It was a blowout on Sunday Night Baseball. It was essentially, and Rick Porcello started, it was essentially T-ball practice, although they don't generally hit home runs, but they did put the ball on a tee. Yeah, the Braves going back to the 10th inning on Saturday, to me, they now look like they are locked in. And they do definitely have a lineup with a lot of good young hitters that can hurt you up and down. We talk about the Dodgers, we talk about the Yankees, we talk about the Astros, and the loaded lineup that they can throw at you offensively. But the Braves are in that same place. And on Sunday night, they were flexing their muscles. Albies with three RBI. Ozuna, two more RBI. How about Dansby Swanson? 3 for 5, a couple of runs scored, and 5 RBI. And we're only talking about game number 3 on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I think every day I've been trying to focus on my preparation each day and then just going and playing and having fun.
What else can you ask for? Going, playing, having fun. There's so much now that is involved with these guys getting to the ballpark. There's so much they have to do before they can go through their regular pregame routine, their warmups, their swings, whether it's their throws, whatever the pregame routine is for these guys. Very often they're creatures of habit. They do what's worked for them until it doesn't work for them, and then they try something different. But they've got all of these various warm-up drills. Sometimes it's in the training room. It's getting wrapped. It's getting treatment. Whatever it is, in the batting cage. And now they've got to back that up even more because they have to add the health and safety protocols. They have to add the testing. And so when you can get to the point, like Dansby talks about, where you're locked in and you're focused on the actual baseball, that's a good thing. It takes more mental toughness. It takes more focus than it has in the past. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, inside the NL East, the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins, sorry, the Miami Marlins actually stayed put and delayed their team flight because they had players test positive for coronavirus. And it wasn't one player. It was 4 players. And you can qualify that as a mini outbreak if you like. You certainly can. There's all kinds of guidelines now, stipulations, various rules they have to follow about travel when something like this happens. But Jose Urena was one of the four Marlins to test positive, and because of that, they were worried about traveling home after their post game. And so instead, and they're still not exactly sure where this happened, but they're thinking about the travel. Instead, they're staying in Philadelphia, and they're hoping to get home on Monday. They start a series with the Orioles on Monday and are thinking they might be showing up in South Florida hours before they start against the Orioles. But this is the kind, and really there's not a whole lot of wiggle room here, right? Because the season is so condensed. But this is the type of curveball, to use a baseball analogy, that teams have to be ready for. So the Marlins went to and from Atlanta for an exhibition game, their last round of exhibitions, before the season started. Now, they didn't play on Thursday. There's just a couple of games on Thursday, but they played on Friday in Philadelphia. So they leave Atlanta, they go to Philadelphia. So they've already traveled to multiple locations, and they had four guys who tested positive, and they decided they would stay put in Philadelphia. They're quarantining the guys who have tested positive, and of course, they're all going to have to retest. They're all going to have to go through this again to make sure that it hasn't spread. But this is the type of thing that a manager, that a general manager, that the players themselves have to deal with now, because there are risks involved, as Don Mattingly indicates. There are risks involved that they've never had to think about before with the game of baseball.
Every day we're taking risks. So that's what the players all around the league are doing. You travel all the time. You know, it started with this road trip. You're traveling, you're in planes, you're in buses, you're in different hotels. It's a risk that we take. It's fair to say that guys are concerned.
For sure. But they decided they wanted to stay together as a team as opposed to travel individually. Now, here's what the MLB guidebook has laid out for them. The four players who tested positive, they have to be separated from the team, of course. They have to be quarantined until they have two negative tests. There's that two. There have to be two of them in tandem to be sure. So there's a safety net. Two negative tests at least 24 hours apart. They can't have any symptoms for 72 hours. And then the team doctors have to approve them to rejoin their teammates. Sounds like they may be left in Philly, though I'm not exactly sure how that works. If they have the virus, you're not putting them on the team plane. If they have the virus, you don't really want them traveling at all. So there's another logistic that they have to deal with. You've got guys in Philadelphia, guys in Miami. You're traveling here, you're traveling there. You got to get those guys from Philadelphia back to the team. What if the team's not in Miami? Then you're sending them somewhere else. I mean, it's not only risky, but it's a headache that most managers and players, well, they're probably prepared for it now. They didn't sign up for this. It's a pain in the rear, for sure. A part of that is why it took so long. Well, other than the fake proposals, but part of this is why it took so long for team sports to return, is because all of these health and safety guidelines had to be laid out ahead of time. It's the same thing with the NBA, the same thing with the NHL, who's getting ready to drop the puck on the postseason come next Saturday. Same thing with the NFL. And it's why they had to come to an agreement before they could really ramp up training camps. Everything had to be agreed to, from the finances to the opt-outs to the revenue sharing to the salary cap to the protocols to what training camp would look like. You can't go into it without having everything laid out so that people can make decisions, A, about whether or not they want to participate, whether or not the risk is worth it, but B, so that they can be as prepared as possible. I mean, there's no way to truly prepare for it until you're walking through it. But it's important to give the players the opportunity to speak up as well, which is also part of this negotiating process. And for Don Mattingly, it's important for him to listen to his guys and to understand their concerns.
They want their feelings as part of how they're feeling about it, situations, to be heard. And I think it's fair. We're talking about health. We're talking about these guys traveling back to their homes and their families and their kids. And it's the reason we want to be safe. You know, they got a voice and they get a voice. And we're definitely going to listen and to what's going on with them.
So that's Don Mattingly. And he also indicated that the Marlins, that they decided that they would stay together as a group, that even though there were the majority of the guys who tested negative, they didn't want to take the chance that they did contract the virus from one of their teammates who was positive and then go home to their families. So they preferred to stay away, which is, again, leading them to potentially show up in South Florida hours before first pitch against the Orioles. Anything goes in 2020, right? Is that how it is? Anything goes. I respect, as much as the whole process of getting baseball back was a pain, I do respect what these guys are now going through. It's not easy. They're jumping through a lot of hoops.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was quite a moment, and I really believe it lit a fire under the Braves. And since it's a sprint, not a marathon, no time like the present. Let's hop to it. The start of Major League Baseball 2020, and no teams are 3-0, no teams are 0-3. Hasn't happened since 1954 that a team has not come out of the gate winning its first three games. So already it's history. You know, the kind of history that we actually like to talk about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome David Sampson, longtime Marlins president, now the host of the Nothing Personal podcast. And David, I see that, at least looking at the CBS Sports HQ screenshot, that you have, in fact, cut your hair. What was the catalyst?
Well, the ML Beard Challenge only lasted until the first pitch of opening day, whenever that was going to be.
Did you win?
Literally at 7:08 p.m. on Thursday night, I was in the barber's chair, and my beard got taken off, and I got a haircut.
Did you win?
7:08 p.m.
Did you win the challenge, whatever you were trying to win?
Well, the challenge was about giving money to charity. So
okay.
I gave $1,000 a day to charity for the first 100 days of the challenge to help people who had been impacted by COVID. And then on day 77 of the challenge, after George Floyd got murdered, for the next 23 days, I chose 23 organizations who were helping raise awareness and helping educate and try to end the systemic racism.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank you. So the challenge was my challenge to myself, and I wanted to try to make a difference during COVID, and I wanted to just have discipline to not ever shave until baseball threw a first pitch.
Well,
and
you definitely
got to opening day.
Yeah, you definitely did that. I know you. You make a difference. I just have to be honest with you and tell you that if it wasn't on your Twitter account that I had seen your beard and your hair and I was just passing you on the street, I wouldn't have known it was you. You looked like a caveman. So it was for it was for a good purpose, but you definitely know how to grow a beard, my friend.
Well, listen, I literally didn't trim it, and I lost so much weight because I couldn't eat because the hair had grown over my mouth.
Ew!
So it's true. So I was eating smoothies through straws.
Gross.
And yogurt. And I'm also training for a run, a long race. So basically, I looked like Tom Hanks from Castaway.
Uh-huh, for sure. Or Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump, where he was running back and forth across the country.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just so happy that baseball started.
Yes.
It's been 3 days, and I'm nervous now. Although I'm not going to grow the beard again, but, you know, coronavirus is definitely an issue. Injuries are definitely an issue.
Mm-hmm.
All things that I've been talking about on Nothing Personal.
So, David, what do you make of the multiple reports that indicate that Justin Verlander's season is over, his denial that it's only a forearm strain? I mean, you're familiar with these kinds of injuries, what they can mean. So what do you make of it?
Well, I've never put the words only before a forearm strain in my whole career. So in 18 years, forearm strains almost every time do lead to Tommy John's. And I hope for baseball's sake, for the Astros' sake, for Verlander's sake, that this is the moment I'm wrong. But it would seem very unlikely. But even if he doesn't need Tommy John, it's so hard to come back from a forearm strain because...
Oh, no! Does that mean his phone cut out? Was he on a Zoom call? What were we doing? Unfortunately, we have lost David Sampson. He lost the beard. We lost David. We're seeing if we can get him back here on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. David, yes, yeah, so we kind of lost you at a good time, though. At least it was at the end of a sentence, but you were talking about forearm strain. Even if he doesn't need Tommy John surgery.
Even if he doesn't need Tommy John surgery, the question is, how do you come back during a season that is this short? So let's say you reevaluate him after 2 weeks, and he can all of a sudden, by some miracle, start building up his arm again. Well, he doesn't go right to the major leagues. He has to rehab, and then he has to pitch in a minor league game. But there are no minor league games this year.
Mm.
So you're dealing with your prized asset. So what you'd have to do is send him to their alternate site camp, have him pitch a simulated game, make sure he builds his arm up. So to me, that's another 2 weeks, so you're out a month automatically. That's in the best-case scenario. That brings you to around the trade deadline of August 31st with 1 month left in the season. So I would say the best case scenario is he misses a month, and that's if there's been a misdiagnosis, frankly. That's if it's not really a forearm strain. It's sort of a bruise, like he got hit by a baseball or something. So we've never had a pitcher with a strain miss such a short period of time. Mm. So it is realistic to miss 8 weeks easily, and that would be the whole season. That's why I believe he'll be out for the whole season, if he can possibly even avoid Tommy John.
Corey Kluber, completely different. His was about shoulder tightness, but the same theory would apply, right? If you need the time off to rest, how do you then get back in shape when there are no minor league games? Otherwise, it's simulations, it's bullpens, right?
It's simulations, it's bullpens, and you got to be very careful with the shoulder. You know, when pitchers have injuries that are not related to their arm or their elbow or their shoulder, sometimes I would be happier because I would say, all right, there's a chance for rehab to get it better, but we have to be very careful, I'd be told, because if a pitcher has a bad knee or like Stroman has an injured calf, if they change their mechanics because of that, that can lead to an arm injury. So all we'd have to do with a leg injury is watch to make sure that a pitcher is not compensated in any way that would alter his mechanics and put his elbow, shoulder in jeopardy. But when an arm is the issue, whether it's shoulder tightness for Kluber, forearm strain for Verlander, it's just such an absolute nightmare because it never is 10 days. It turns into something much, much longer. And in a full season, you know, if a pitcher misses a month, you can recover from that, 2 months maybe. But in a season like this, any sort of hiccup and you're out for the year.
And obviously this year is only 60 games and it's just a completely different feel. Everything about it feels so different. David Time, Marlins president, now the Nothing Personal podcast and CBS Sports HQ. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's impossible of me to ask you a question about everything we saw this weekend. So a couple of things that jumped out at you, David, from the first three games.
Well, I'd say the first thing is that my concern with the pitchers being ahead of the hitters ended up being somewhat unfounded. We had some great pitching performances. You know, Hendricks goes a complete game for the Cubs, but you also had some amazing offensive outbursts, including what the Braves did last night to the Mets. I think they scored 2 touchdowns, if I can remember correctly. So I thought that the hitters would be not ready to go. And it turns out that in a shortened spring training, without any games being played, except some teams played 2 or 3 exhibition games total, that teams are sort of ready. The quality of baseball is good, not great. There's a lot of errors being made. There is some sloppy play. You have intermittent hitting and fielding and pitching that is quality and some that is not. That is why you're seeing parity at a level you haven't seen in 56 years or 66 years, because you had the Tigers win 2 out of 3. You had the Orioles win 2 out of 3. You had the Marlins win 2 out of 3. And even the Giants split with the Dodgers in a 4-game series. So what right now you'd say, wow, everybody's in it. But I think that there's enough time in this season, Amy, to separate the better teams from the horrible teams. But the question is who the mediocre teams who will stay decent enough to make this expanded playoffs. That's why I'm so excited and hopeful the season happens and continues.
Agreed. I mean, the protocols are extremely strict. Juan Soto, he had a couple of negative tests around his positive, swears, you know, didn't have the virus, don't know how I got the virus, but baseball can't bend the rules, not even for a star, not even on opening day. Same thing with the Marlins now and these really strict protocols about them traveling and getting these four guys back together. Feels like that's the only way, is if you are really taking a hard line about everything that has to do with the virus and sticking to these guidelines, that's the only way to keep the season going forward.
Well, like with PED testing, Amy, you cannot in any way look at the name on the sample and then have that in any way influence how you test the sample or how you release or how you punish. If someone has COVID, they're COVID. They're in the protocol no matter who they are, whether they're Juan Soto or whether they're, you know, the 60th man on the roster. The second thing is that what's going on with the Marlins, what they're worried about is that it's an outbreak, as opposed to Juan Soto, who's the only one so far who's tested positive. Or with the Braves, you had Tyler Flowers and Travis d'Arnaud, they're two catchers, and then that's it so far. The Marlins had their catcher test and then three others right after that. So that's a concern. Number one, is it possible that we're seeing a trend that catchers have a bigger likelihood of catching it because they're actually at the plate with the umpire, with the hitter? There's more activity going on around a catcher than the other players. Is that possible? We don't know. Do the Marlins have more than just four people positive? They're going to have results back this morning, which is the reason they didn't travel, because they needed to make sure that everybody else was negative after the four positives that they got in Philadelphia. What happens now with the Yankees who go to Philadelphia? You know, we have to monitor them because they're going into the clubhouse where the Marlins just were. So you have to make sure that that cleaning protocol was perfectly followed. So we'll be monitoring what happens with the Yankees and their testing over the next few days. So there's a lot of things that have to go right to keep the season going through October.
Definitely is a ripple effect. Just about 10 seconds, David, before I have to let you go. But despite all of that, how did you feel about baseball returning?
Oh, my God. Including all of that, as long as everyone stays safe and happy, I'm so happy to be watching baseball and have games that count. And I'm okay with the variance that will be this season. It's 2020. It is a big asterisk, and I'm good with it.
Awesome. You can find David on Twitter at David P. Sampson. If you page down far enough on his Twitter, you can see the photos of his face post-haircut. It's good to see your face again, David. Listen to him on the Nothing Personal podcast, and we always appreciate when we have a couple of minutes with you here on the show. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy. Have a good day.
Completely different guy once he cut his hair. Really amazing, but also a great cause, and I appreciate David, admire him for sticking with it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Well, let's be honest. The first weekend of Major League Baseball featured the good. We'll get to the good, my favorite story of the weekend. The bad, we talked about Justin Verlander. How about Clayton Kershaw going back to Thursday? Corey Kluber also getting injured. And then it featured the ugly. And I'm not sure what other words could more appropriately describe the start of Shohei Ohtani returning to the mound after his Tommy John surgery. He does not record an out for the Angels against the A's. He was shelled, that's Ken Korak, on the A's radio network. He allows 5 runs on 3 hits and 3 walks, and manager Joe Maddon had no choice but to pull him out of the game.
Well, he just didn't throw the ball very well. I mean, I can't sit here and make excuses for him. I'm not going to do that. It just wasn't his day. fastball wasn't coming out. There was no deception in his pitches. And the hitters will tell you that. These are, you know, major league hitters. The walks were a big part of that. Had he maybe righted himself by forcing those couple, three hitters to put the ball in plate, may have had a different result. But it was a combination. The stuff wasn't the same and his command was down.
He threw 30 pitches. Half of them were balls. And when he left the game without recording an out, there were already two on and a 4-0 deficit. So the velocity was down, as many noted. Only 93 miles per hour was the average on his fastball. And this is a guy who can routinely reach triple digits. Didn't really have the chance to throw what is his trademark pitch, the splitter. He was in trouble the entire time. He said through his interpreter, "I felt like I was throwing the ball rather than pitching." And maybe it'll take some time. But I appreciate what David Sampson said when he joined us a few moments ago. The problem is there really isn't a way that you can face live pitching. You can do the simulation, you can do the bullpen, but if you're trying to come back from an injury, especially the way that spring training was cut short, you get the summer camp. But for guys who are hurt, for guys who need a little more time, there is no minor league option. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. And it's sponsored by Geico. 855-212-4CBS. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The bad, the ugly, we covered. How about the good? There's a lot that we could look at. Nelson Cruz, pair of home runs, 40 years old. This guy has been around the block more than once and yet has a Sunday to write home about for the Twins. Carlos Carrasco getting his first win in his first start since he beat leukemia and returned to baseball. Remember, it was just over a year ago when he was diagnosed with the leukemia, had to go through all the treatments. His teammates supported him, the Cleveland community, obviously. Those memorable moments, the emotional moments. I remember I teared up. I stand for Cookie at the All-Star game when he made the appearance on the field in Cleveland. And he had come back as a relief pitcher, but now in the starting rotation, and the Indians get a win. Lots of run support. He said how happy he was to return to the mound. But even that can't trump the story of the weekend. You want to talk about comeback. This is phenomenal. Daniel Bard, 2,646 days in between big league pitching appearances. The last time he was on the mound before this weekend, April of 2013. The last time he got a win, May of 2012. You may remember, especially those of you who are Red Sox fans, he was a first-round draft pick. But he had control issues. And he says as recently as a year ago, he couldn't even play catch with his kids. He thought he'd give it one more try, though. By the way, do you know what he was doing a year ago? He was the mentor and mental skills coach for the Diamondbacks. He decided to give it one more try. He earned himself a roster spot this summer with the Rockies. In the fifth inning of Saturday's game against the Rangers, he gets his chance to return to a major league mound. Two on, two out in the fifth inning for the Rockies against Texas.
Two strikes, the count on Odor. One on, one out here in the sixth. 2-1 Rockies.
Oops.
Daniel Bard on in relief of John Gray. Delivers, and Odor can't find a fastball at 99 for strike three. Daniel Bard's first strikeout since his return to the bigs.
What makes his comeback so much better is just his personality. He's been through the wars, he's been through the peaks and the valleys, and he really appreciates this opportunity, Jack, and to see him come out and pitch like this, it's really heartwarming.
I set that up incorrectly. Please forgive me. Your host is dope sometimes. That was not a highlight from the fifth, but he did come back in the sixth. So he was able to get out of the jam in the fifth, and then he returned to the mound in the sixth, and he ended up getting a strikeout, a 99-mile-per-hour fastball, which was phenomenal to see. And then he gets a flyout from Will Calhoun to end the sixth. And how about this? Earns the W. In relief, he earns the win. And so it wasn't just about getting back to the big leagues. It was about finding that control again. It was about finding the confidence that he lost. There was a story out there in Sports Illustrated that back in 2013, he Googled how to fix the yips, how to cure the yips. They were so bad that he was at a loss. And he tried to return to the majors and nothing stuck. And so he was taking different jobs to be around baseball. Gave it one more try. And look at him now. One and a third innings of scoreless relief and a W for the 35-year-old Daniel Bard. We looked for the post-game audio. It's a challenge these days. Pretty much everything's a challenge these days with the media. But we looked for it. We couldn't find it. Hopefully at some point over the course of this week, we will find that audio. Everything's done on Zoom calls now, and so it's harder to track down. But pretty cool to hear what his manager, Bud Black, had to say following that relief appearance.
I'm happy for him. You know, he got the win. I mean, what a great story. You know, it's been documented, you know, of late over here the last 3 weeks once we announced that he was on the team. And, I mean, everybody's so happy for him. I mean, I was pumped, you know, when he got Calhoun. That was awesome. You know, I got him near the end of the dugout, and he said three words. He said, "That was fun." I mean, there you go. A guy who's in his mid-30s after a seven-year break, you know, physically in a good spot. His arm is fresh. And, man, what a great story.
We thought 4 months was a long break. 7 years. Try that one on for size. Congratulations to Daniel Bard. That's amazing. And I can only imagine the satisfaction, the joy, the euphoria, all kinds of emotions surging through him. And he does it. Pitches 99 miles per hour in a stadium that's empty. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So there was the good, there was the bad, there was the ugly. We'll wait to hear about Justin Verlander, wait to hear about Corey Kluber. We'll wait to kind of sort through some of these other issues, the Miami Marlins, how quickly can they get back to South Florida? Can they do it in time for the first pitch against the Orioles? Something unexpected, something they didn't maybe even think about when they signed up for this season. But it is the reality in 2020, and they may be the first team to be affected by it like this, with travel delays and having to fly in the day of a game where it's their own stadium and they're going to be scrambling, but they won't be the last team to go through this. And now the concern is, can they prevent it from being an outbreak? Others who came in contact, can they keep it to these four players? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We talked a lot about Jalen Ramsey, Minka Fitzpatrick, also Jamal Adams, the latest of the defensive stars, these guys, all of them in the defensive backfield who've been traded in the last year, because Fitzpatrick was early in the 2019 campaign. Which one of them would you most want on your roster if you consider the circumstances surrounding their trades? So Minka, he ended up with the Steelers in a trade that people couldn't understand. Mike Tomlin made it, defended it. People couldn't understand it, but it really did transform the Steelers' defense. Jalen Ramsey ends up with the Rams, and he was desperate to get out of Jacksonville. Jamal Adams now in the same division with the Seahawks. Both Jalen and Jamal traded for two first-round picks. Which one would you most want on your roster? We got a poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, right now. Overwhelmingly, nearly half of you are saying Minka Fitzpatrick. That's also echoed on our Facebook page. And so we'll continue to watch those results. NFL is moving forward, and according to multiple reports, this is why the Seahawks took as long as they did to make the offer for Jalen because they wanted to be sure there was a season first before they gave up the two first-round picks. However, they are not planning to give him a contract extension, which is what started his emotional offseason, his offseason of ranting in the first place. So be careful what you wish for, Seattle Seahawks. Excited to be off and running in another work week. We're back tonight. Join us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.